Okay, it is 3:50. I'm going to call it a little bit early. We're going to call our Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association meeting to order.
I would say
anyone that is not take the discussion outside.
I'm getting thrown out.
Okay, so right now we've got board members in attendance.
Shauna?
Dave Schiff, Edlinski, Ben Clarkson, and John
Harris.
Harris on the phone. Okay, and then Mike Duvall as a member on the phone also. So, if we can go through our agenda and touch on a few other things other than roads. Call to order. Okay, we are going to forego our invocation unless somebody.
I'll pray fast.
Okay. Okay, so we went over who's in attendance. Also, anybody outstanding that wants to on record?
Rich and Nancy Burton, E-Y-R-A-E.
Mr. Ken Lent, just reintroduced himself. How are you?
Ken Lent and Bob.
Whether somebody comes back in or not. Okay, first of all, did everybody get a chance to go over last meeting minutes for April? Since we're as few in numbers and some of the ones that we went through, some of the discussion on phone are not here today, I propose we table the minutes and approve them tonight. That's what it is.
I second you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Good. Motion carried. Financial report. Would you give us our bookkeeper's report since you say you're leaving?
Yes.
And you?
Do you want me to do it? Okay.
Yes, do it. Yeah.
We have accomplished this month. I'm putting $500 in as we go. If they use it, that's classified as the same as it has been. It's just that they have money available to them through the checking account. And in their account right now, we have $500. A working list of what they've spent so far and what they've done. In our savings account, we have $1,167. In our working account, we have $61,939 and nothing pending being paid, any bills being paid right at this moment. So that's our working account. We did receive a bill. This is an editorial comment. I think the rhino is costing us a lot of money. And we have a current bill that I haven't paid. It just came the day before yesterday for $700 to work on it. And that
repair.
Yeah, it's really an expensive vehicle for us to own. Gas lines? No, it's fine. But as far as everything else that is connected with that rhino, it's turning into a really expensive
vehicle. So we replaced the starter motor, the clutch, brake pads.
I don't
remember a lot of miles.
That's what I think. And again, we need to talk back with Brayton's, but it does a lot of running around, and part of it's work related and rank related. And
probably other that they need. and things like that. It is an expensive vehicle. So I just wanted to draw it to your attention and let you know about that.
The car's expensive and
expensive? No. Looks like a pretty major annual or not even or more than that go through, but you need to see.
It's not
the mileage on here and try to track that over time and say, you know, is it just being run excessively?
Would a regular vehicle have cost this more under the same usage? Because that was
I'm not a mechanic. I can't answer that. It hasn't in the past.
If an ATV related, it seems like they charge you four times as much. One reason rather than it would be if it was a regular vehicle.
And I don't know, you know, there are some brands of vehicles that are really expensive to upkeep and have problems, you know, on one particular brand. And I don't know if it's just Rhino, but and I know it's a lot better to have them going up and back and forth to the pros or up to the cabins in a Rhino than the other because of the gas part of it. But I'm just thinking the vehicle itself is not.
What about far away?
So far, 700.
This is the $700 wheel right here. It's been we've had it. It's been an expensive vehicle. So I wanted to bring it to your attention. In my report, the bills that I sent out for assessments that were overdue, we've gotten response to them. I've gotten checks from them, and two of the severely overdue have responded, and three are we're working on a case. They got so severely out of order. That leaves about five left that we maybe want to take action on. But I would suggest we don't at this time because we're starting to get response from them.
Okay, good.
So I'm happy with that. I did not get another, and I will be sending out bills again for those that I haven't received information on. And in fact, because of this positive response on this, I'm going to call the yeah, because we've been busy getting this other meeting that we had going, and so that took my time.
Yeah, I think it would be good to have a verbal answer from them.
I agree.
Do they hold to? Do they even bring it for it, or do they have a defiant attitude that, no, I'm never going to pay it, and so...
Shauna had asked me to get a list of who had taxes due on those severely delinquent assessments, and there was quite a number. You want to...
They were, but you know, I think they've all been brought up. Anyway, we have about six of them. I was concerned because if they weren't paying the taxes, they were going to be caught down the whole thing.
Right.
And so
right.
I kind of give a heads up.
Yeah, if
they're
using the contact order, we'll respond to our...
I should go ahead and say this?
I think...
Well, we have to. It's getting incurred by us.
This note's not from them.
Right.
And let him know.
And I did contact them and said, please call me if it's anything over $200. Because that's the only place in town that can work on this. And I did have that in place. Business went to punch. This happened in between. But anything else? Let me know first so we can get approval before you do that.
Okay, is that all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Johnny, you have anything else?
No, that's what we already went over that.
Okay. We don't have caretakers here for caretakers report.
Paul is extremely sick. Just before I came down, she was going to come in. She's got a barbecue tonight, which are going
to. Has he been in there?
She came home last night sick, and I suggested that she call the clinic and talk to them about
it. I have a nephew that was confirmed 2 days ago with swine flu in St. George, came back from the FYA youth conference, and so,
you're 100 in Kane County right now.
Yeah.
So, you mean
so if he's been anywhere like that, and that's something that with members that are coming from out of state and all over the country, I think our employee, if for, by chance he does have H1N1, we need to let members know so that we don't have members coming up and turn the business back. Problem is, it takes a while to get the test results back. By the time that you get the results, the test was positive, and he's still back. Okay, old business. You gave a brief talk about delinquent assessments. Are we going into further depth on that?
No, not today.
Okay. We need to look into that. I'm glad to hear that we're making progress in getting some of that collected. That's the most important thing to do. Okay, number two, what do we have as far as 4th of July activities?
We have something on the ranch website.
I haven't sent it out yet.
Because stuff. Well, I did. No, Vance sent it out, I thought.
Okay.
We had pictures of Hanlon. I think it was from last year. But they're still planning to do activities and stuff on the ranch.
Well, again, that's going to pertain.
It's not a fall fix.
Right. But that will go out to, you know, those that are there in cabins and members and that have will get their own cabins that hopefully they posted something there at the ranch. Cattle and agriculture. I can give a brief report. I don't know if there's something else that somebody else has. But since our last meeting, we approved the lease with Doug Hunt. I met with Doug after when he was bringing out another load of cows. He did sign that. The way we had written that lease was that he would pay monthly. He is gone for a 5-month period. His son and his brother will actually be coming and checking on the cows. He's come out and met a couple of times with Ray since our meeting. And so what he did was we guesstimated what AUNs we figured he would use under the agreement, and he wrote a check for half of that. I turned over to Linda. So he wrote a check for $2,000 up front, and then we will calculate and then pull some out and make an accurate estimate. He is running the horse operation at a boys and girls ranch in Oregon as part of a mission he does for 6 months in the summer over a 3-year period. Last year he did it. This is his second year, and he's planning to do it one more year. And so before leaving, you know, him personally wrote a check for him, and he did cover that. So Doug is, you know, happy with the way that things are going, and I think making, when I talked to Bray last day, we were, you know, happy. They had a
What's the extent of the lease?
Just this year. Right. Just this year. It terminates, I think, October 15th. And he is hoping, if we work it out and a grazing rotation and stuff, to between now and next year, to try to put that into like a 5-year lease that any grazer can work on. But what we signed was only for this year. It was for the meadow on our private ground only. Unless, if that does run out, we did apply for the Beyond where we could put them out on Deer Springs Point. Again, that was a way to keep them away from the dry land pasture and stuff that the Johnsons had put in. So that's the kind of the report on that. As far as the Johnsons, we did have some issues. I think that the other members' cows, Brent and stuff, we got those taken care of so that you're satisfied and stuff. Separate. We did have the county extension agent go out and inspect the strip, the hollow area that they had cultivated and planted in this dry land pasture mix, different varieties. It was not coming up thick enough to cut and harvest in a combine or anything. And he had one concern, but his recommendation was, while it's still green and young, get cattle in there and just graze it off this first year and then try to replant. Again, building
the
grassroots and stuff over time. But he said there is a slight chance that the reason it's not coming up and the way it looks, there is a slight chance that it's built up some toxicity or poisonous in the actual grass. sometimes looks like that, and if you put cows in there, then it would totally, you know, poison the cows. And so they took a test of that, sent it to the lab, and the last I heard, they still didn't have the lab results back. But what we did agree, tentatively, and I talked quite a bit with, we've leased that ground to them. They are at their pride, you know, their money putting in the crop and to harvest the crop. I didn't have a problem if their way of harvesting this year, their choice was to actually graze it instead of trying to come in with a combine. Again, based on what the county said, that wasn't realistic. And I know Johnson's put a lot of time and a lot of money into this, and if we, you know, there was some concern, hey, if we let, we don't want cows in there, that was the whole reason. And I said, well, no, we don't want other cows in there to eat their grass, but if they want to put their cows in to eat their grass, they've got to get some return on their investment, or, you know, it pretty clearly came a 2-year lease, then when you go into the second year, if they got no benefit from it. So, anyway, that was what was you know, approved, and so, Brett, you know, you've been up there, do they have 20, 30 head of cows in there?
I think there's something like, I think there's just between 20 and 30. There's not that many.
We were talking something in the 25 to 30. Again, technically, they're all our cows. They were the association cows that we sold to them last fall. They put them in. But again, it was their responsibility working with Brayton's to verify for them to go in and repair fences to make sure that the fences, you know, in the well field, they can't do any damage to anything else other than eat their grass. And then once that's done, if they put them over on the west side of the ranch, up on the airstrip, and then possibly up into Broadhall. Their concern was they only had, you know, maybe a 2-3 week, maybe a 4 week period to eat that before it goes gets so dry that cows can't eat it. You know, it will get to a point. I'm hoping that they will get enough benefit from that. They'll graze what they can, move the cows out, that sometime here, late August, September, they go in and reseed, hopefully with these late summer rains and monsoon rains, to get a second crop up before it freezes this fall, so it would go dormant, come out next spring, and be a thicker, better crop. And again, if they rotate and reseed that a second year, it will have a huge improvement as far as the ground and, you know, benefit to the association.
Did the agent sample what, the green or the soil?
No, the green.
Grass.
Just green.
Yeah.
And if they've got cows in it, that's why he said, I won't put them in because I can't poison the cows. But as soon as I know, I'm going to move them in there, and if it looks like it's going to be approved, we need to start working on fence. And so that's when we talked about it, said, let's go ahead and start working on the fence. So, again, Johnsons are living there at the ranch through the summer, working, so they are there on site every day to watch cows and make sure that they are in the pasture where they should be, that they graze one area, and as soon as they're done eating that grass, you know, I've encouraged, left it up to Paul to say, you're done here, you need to move to the next pasture, and rotate through that.
I've added a couple of items at the bottom. We need to think about candidates for 2010 board.
Okay.
And getting a notice out on, Vance asked me to get a good firm idea of what you guys want to put on the notice, and he'll send it out for the membership. And the Braytons are looking for a contract. They would like to have a contract before the September meeting, if at all possible, because of the new board coming in. So if you could discuss those two, we'd greatly appreciate it. And
okay.
This is being recorded here too. Could you get that for me, Shonda, when you're done? Please excuse me for the meeting.
You guys are breaking up pretty bad. You need to get a little closer, I think. I can't. I'm only catching every other word.
Same for me.
Over table.
All right, we're moving you over onto the table.
More than you want.
Now you're farther away from me than I came here. Okay. All right. One last minute that was not on the agenda as far as old business. We had voted last meeting to pay our membership to the Water Association of Drinking Water Association of Utah. I don't remember
rural
that.
Rural Water. And so Linda has confirmed that that has been contacted and paid, and so we should be able to use that. Again, Paul was going to look into some training as far as water sampling and things. So that was I think that's as far as the cattle and the agriculture, unless there's any questions.
Okay. Other than that, roads and access. Again, we've hit that fairly hard. I'm happy to discuss a little further. Anybody have more questions specifically for the board or input to the board from the members? Anybody want to yell at us so we can yell at the county commissioner?
Well, actually, no, go ahead.
On the information that Mike printed out, Nancy printed out regarding all this business, there was a petition, a citizen's petition there for a signature. Who's that?
Close to me. If you want to.
We sign it, put our lot number on it.
You can put your lot number on it too. I have thousands of these petitions that are coming back with, I mean, thousands of signatures on these petitions.
And
we will take them.
Where are they going to go?
We're going to take them to Salt Lake when we go on August the 8th, is which we're calling the Sagebrush Rebellion, when we're going to Capitol.
Can I copy it for the ranch?
So the Sagebrush.
I'll get one up there.
It's a rural effort.
Just grassroots citizens to try to give a unified voice to government that, hey, you can't run over our rights. We still are the residents, the taxpayers, using these roads every day. We need to, you know, be able to use them as we historically have.
So it's larger than just our
I wanted to put a little plug right here. We started what we called the Tea Party, as the Glenn Beck sort of thing, okay? And it was to address a lot of these issues, and especially because every area has different major issues. One of ours is the roads, the guns, the cap and trade for our power bills, our water issues. Those things are things that we're addressing, and we're trying to have a meeting once a month. We actually are having two this month, which is one tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the high school. Is
who's we?
It's called the UTAZ, Utah Arizona Tea Party. That's what we're calling it. And we've nicknamed ourselves kind of the Road Warriors just because that's what the Tribune called us. I like the name. I thought it was pretty cool. But anyway.
So this is outside Deer Springs Owner Association.
This is right.
I mean, this is,
right.
Shauna, as far as Kane County wide.
I don't have anything to do with that. I sort of like different hat. But that's what we're trying to do, is accomplish getting people to unify together. And that's what I say. And we can't always do. The Kane County Commissioner has tied hands at certain points, but the people don't. And so we're kind of on a different little bit of plane, but we need people there. We need you there to represent the public. And so that's what that's
we'll
about.
With paper, and the paper probably.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
So that's a good thing for clarifying that.
Just do me a favor, when you have anything relative to the roads to be referred to at the end of Tea Party, let the board members know too, even if it's just an email.
I
got to know who to communicate with. I'm not getting good results.
I can. Okay, so what I need is an action from the board to say, I can give that information to Linda. Linda, therefore, can forward those emails to the board. But because I did something politically before and somebody threw a fit, I don't want to do anything. So if it's okay with somebody to say that, I could say, okay, Linda, this is what we're doing. And if everybody was okay with that, we will send it to you. And therefore, if you don't want it, just say, quit sending them to me, or whatever, okay?
Right.
But we can just send them out there saying, this is what's happening, and if you want to party, otherwise delete it, you know, but it will be coming.
Under Deer Springs?
Have it come from you, not from Deer Springs.
It won't come from Deer Springs, okay?
Yeah.
Figure out, okay, I can take the list of people and give them to my other entity who does emails. We could do that, or, you know.
Well, and I think
if that's okay with everybody, I don't know.
You, as knowing what's going on, if you get that, again, Vance has posted them on the website, or those that subscribe to the Deer Springs list, you know, like I said, if they don't want it, they can unsubscribe. To get that information, keep circulating it. You know, we need the information out there. Let me say one thing, and this is my opinion, and we may disagree with it. That's okay. Here's how I view this road issue, though, and this is maybe a little different than Shauna. I totally respect what Shauna's doing. I totally respect what Commissioner Havishaw's doing. I support that 100%. However, I think we've still got to follow some of these channels. If I want something to be done in Kanab City, I have seven city councilmen that are elected. They answer to me. I have an elected mayor. He answers to me. The secretary at the front desk in the city office doesn't answer. She's an employee. I have no right to go in there and scream her head off because I'm unhappy as a Kanab City citizen. She is an employee. My beef is with the elected officials. And so I still stake that same approach. In Kane County, there's four people that answer to me. Three county commissioners and an elected sheriff. When it comes to these issues, they're the ones that my vote's going to change their position if results don't happen. I don't know that and I don't want to back off too much, but for me to go and beat on and yell at the local BLM guy that wouldn't meet with us today, again, I've already met with Harry Barber, I've met with Crutchfield. These guys are employees doing their job. They're honest, caring citizens here in the community. I don't know that me beating on their head does a whole lot of good. I'm still happy to put the pressure on Commissioner Havishaw. As a taxpayer, are you going to fix my problem, or do I need to vote a different commissioner in? Or are you going to resign and get out of the way so that somebody who can't fix the problem gets in there? That's where I want to write letters. If they as leaders will tell us, again, I haven't seen anything in over a year. All I've seen is the pissing match between them and the BLM and the letter to the editor. They've never come out and said, hey, Joe Kanab citizen, or King County citizen, taxpayer, here's where we need your help to get our voice heard. But until they show that leadership, either they've got to show that leadership or get out of the way and let somebody else.
Okay. Hear, hear.
Just because of this, okay?
Okay.
Because I agree with you because I think the citizens need to have that power. And we do. We live in a republic. Republic means we're represented by elected
right.
officials. Mark Havishaw can only do so much. And seriously, because he couldn't even go on the ride with us because he was directly ordered by a federal judge and said, you step one, you go out there and you will be arrested.
I completely don't, that holds no water with me. I hold the utmost regard for Thomas Jefferson and John Hancock and the founding fathers that put their life and limb and said, I don't care what the king tells me, I don't care what the court tells me, I'm going to stand up for my right, and if it costs me my life, I'm going to do it. Now, we're not in life or death battle, but if my elected official is not willing to get arrested, is not willing to look politically incorrect, to stand up for my right, he needs to step aside because there's other people in the county that are willing to take that
But it's
approach.
Not his position. His position it is your county sheriff. The one that has the power.
Well, and I agree.
County
we didn't,
county
we,
sheriff.
We didn't get
and
in.
And I tried to get him there. He was not there.
Yeah.
Okay? That was a thing. We need to put the pressure on.
Well, and that falls back into Deer Springs as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
If we have federal agents showing up to enforce roads.
And they should have stopped it.
Nobody's authority is higher than the Kane County Sheriff in Kane County unless he relinquishes his authority. It doesn't matter if SWAT teams show up or anybody else. And the only cases where we've seen federal authority come in and overrun the sheriff, it's ended in a disaster. And so hopefully they will, show up and still maintain that.
You should take this on for probably. Anyway, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
I don't agree.
I do.
There's...
But you need to do it united, and so you have to do that as a group.
I'm in total agreement with Ben. Run a blade across it.
Our voice needs to be heard.
Because the decision has to be made, whether it's today or 3 years from
right.
now. Run a blade across it. See what happens.
And as I said to Commissioner Havishaw, I talked about my third option. Why are we not maintaining? My first and second, I'm happy for somebody. The BLM has already... County Commissioner is saying, we own the roads, our rights are RS-2477, which, okay, if that was our case, we've been beating that drum the last 15 years, then why in the last year are we backing off of that?
Sure.
That's where I think we're in trouble. But at the same time, the BLM is saying, we do not recognize RS-2477. You're talking alien speak to us. We don't really even know what that means anymore. If you want to have a road and you want to maintain it, we still handle that under Title V. That's what came, DSROA. We went got Title V on all of our roads.
And that's,
usually,
that's the whole thing.
Right. But
because
usually,
you're saying they can have your road.
What's that?
You're saying that they can have your road.
Usually.
And that's what Title V is.
Right, no. Usually Title V is for a specific period of time, usually 50 years. And before they were saying, if you give up ours 2477 claim, then we'll give you Title V. Right now, the BLM has readily said, we will sign all these roads over to King County under Title V. We will not do it for 50 years or 99 years. We will do it in perpetuity. And at the bottom, there's already got a written paragraph saying, by accepting Title V, you in no way relinquish your rights under RS-2477. You can fight RS-2477 until the cows come home. In the meantime, we could start at least maintaining and using the roads under Title V and keep fighting the RS-2477 battle at the same time. I, under contract law, don't see any downside to that.
You better get an attorney before you say that. Because it is an issue.
This is the same Commissioner Havish attitude that if you don't agree with me, you're stupid and don't understand.
No.
I understand as much as anybody. I deal with attorneys and contract law as much as these guys, and agree. We may be listening to our attorneys, and they'll tell us whatever we need to hear to drag this battle on, because the longer they battle, the more money they make. Don't get me thinking that some outside of Kane County attorney that we're listening to is our best friend as Kane County citizen.
No.
Bottom line, and here was my example to Commissioner Havishaw when I met with him in November. If you drive from Highway 89 to the end of the pavement towards Deer Springs, okay, we've all done that. You cross Kane County Road on private ground. You cross sections that are Kane County RS-2477 claim. The last whole section he talked about in here up through the slick rock was a Title V. You know, we applied under Title V. This was before the whole issue, but we said, look, we need to pave this road. And the Beyond said, we'll apply for Title V. We'll give it to you. They gave it to us. We went and paved the road. You know what? Day to day, I don't give a crap. My wife takes her Yukon and she drives that section of road, and as a completely uninformed citizen, she doesn't know if it's RS-2477 or Title V or private road. All she knows is safely and effectively she can drive the road. So we get into this argument over, well, should it be this, or should we call it this number, RS-247, or call it Title V? Our life is too short. We'll be arguing this a million years from now. I know that I want me and my kids and my grandkids to be able to function and drive the roads.
Well, it's not just about roads. No.
I agree we can't sign off our rights and give up this RS-247s. We've got to do that. But in the meantime, to still be able to maintain them so that we can use them.
You can't have a Title V with an RS-2477. That's the problem.
That's
the problem.
Before you think.
Yeah. Any action, you better make sure.
Anything from the ranch out to do any maintenance on that road, document the emergency at
right.
the time.
I agree.
Make sure that it's documented.
Yeah, we don't
read by more than one person.
Because we could be in a lawsuit.
Right. We can't afford that.
Right.
You know, but if we take a picture, we could document there was an emergency. What's that?
Don't we have insurance?
Yeah. So that's, again, believe me, I mean, I was at the day that they put the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument into place. I've you know, in 1996 when we ran on the roads, I've been here every day, and I've watched us continue to battle and lose. I mean,
right.
Commissioner Havishaw in November said, if we get to the 10th District, he said, I'm 90% sure that we're going to get a favorable ruling. It will make a happy day. We win, and all will be well, and we all live happily ever after. You know what? 10th District Court totally shut us down. They ruled to uphold Judge Campbell's ruling. And we'll be in the same situation 20 years from now. And if we, I mean, I think that we've got to choose our battles and someplace where they're willing to work with us. I'm not saying to give away our right, but we've got to be able to still function in the meantime.
I think just a small issue. I think it's a big mistake too to keep calling it the Scoonapaw Road.
Right.
It's the Cannonville Highway. You know, because it services another community, and that's important.
Right.
It's not just a ranch road.
Well, and true. We don't want to just win the battle from here to Deer Springs.
Right.
We've still got to be able to continue from Deer Springs to Cannonville.
But they shut down the Freya River, which was an RS-2477, documented for 140 years. They shut it down, Ben, drive out there, and they put bulldozers up there and shut that road down in the last 2 weeks.
Let's go back 10 years from now. And if you guys disagree, let me know, because I am, representing you at least as a voice. So if I'm out of line, I want to know, because I'll go and speak your voice over my own opinion. But here's my opinion. The county the BLM, and even the SUO and the Wilderness never intended to shut down Skudenpaw Road. Okay, they were very surprised. I mean, I've talked with them. The BLM said, we never in our wildest dreams, SUO, who sued Kane County, and you know, under this lawsuit, said we never imagined that the judge would go this far and shut down Cottonwood Road, Skudenpaw Road, with some of these main roads. Their issue is to try to shut down ATV traffic up the Perea. Now, let me say the unholy thing. Let me break all rules. You know what? Personally, as far as Ben Clarkson, if they shut off and said no motorized vehicles in Perea Canyon, but at the same time, you can have full rights to Skudenpaw Road, you can pave it if you need to, whatever you need to do, county, you can have those that are totally, fully established roads. That's where
That's your personal opinion.
I agree.
I have thousands of people against that.
I'm asking these people here. And I disagree. As Kane County, that's where Kane County's voice is going to get, the people are going to get mad enough that they're either going to start hammering the county commissioner one way or another. The county commissioner is continuing to say, okay, we've got 1,000 roads out here. There's three of these kind of wilderness roads we're fighting to keep open. And the citizens are going to decide, are we willing to take 80% of those roads and have full rein on them and give up some of these two-lane tracks that, you know, we're going to have to hike into? Or are the people that say, I'm going to keep ATVs up the Perea River, and if it costs us so that we can't maintain any of our roads, we're taking, I mean, really, I think that we're putting, and as Kane County said, if we go out, and anybody that's familiar, his last comment was, we're taking the stop signs down at the corner of Yellowjack and Hancock, okay? Paul Eckhoff was just killed out there in a rollover in the last months, one of the founders of Best Friends, because of speed and stuff. You have a collision out there because we've now removed the stop signs. I don't care. You're never going to convince me. I don't care if the federal government's blame or anything. My wife and kids get killed on that road because there's no stop sign. I think that that's a crisis. Sure. That's unforgivable.
Whether, and it goes to the bill. And
I don't care whose fault it is. I don't care whose fault it is. Mark Habishaw is now making the decision of taking that sign down.
And that's bad.
And that's bad. You will never convince me that you can blame.
The judge said we couldn't, that we don't have authority. I have it in writing from the judge that says you have to take all your signage off of those roads. Every King County sign will be removed.
And if you went,
that's right. There's the point you want to make. Every sign will be taken down when you go ahead and do it. We're not going
right.
to do it.
Well, and if we went to the BLM, they would just say, the people who have authority in the BLM today would sign a maintenance agreement and say, leave your signs up, keep maintaining it, while we're fighting this out. It may take us 3 years, it may take us 30 years, but in the meantime, you have the equipment, you have the tax dollars, you have the manpower, keep maintaining the roads in a safe manner. We're playing this bluff that if we shut everything down and don't maintain anything, then we're going to win this once sooner or later. And at what cost? As soon as lives start getting lost, I think that we've gone too far to prove that we were right. Because the whole purpose of having a road is so that you have access and can get there. And we've given that up willfully. We said, all right, we won't maintain it. And how long will it take? I mean, I'm surprised how well we've fared in the last year. We get through a heavy rain season this year that we didn't have last year. Now we have no gravel left on the roads. It's going to get ugly
in the next
year. Man,
we lived out there when there was no gravel out there and there was only a two-lane road, okay? I mean, a one-lane road. We lived through that and we'll make it through it again. So it doesn't really matter, but if we lose the rights to have the roads, we will not have any roads there, period, because it will go into wilderness. And that's the problem. Kane County went out there and put it in there, but the whole
scare tactic that if we, let's say that we took our Title V, which is a road recognized and granted by the government, that completely negates their option of calling it all wilderness. The scare tactic that if we don't fight these battles, then they're going to shut us off and we can't even get to our own guy. It will never happen. There is no way that Deer Springs' 305 20-acre lots is all of a sudden going to somehow be deemed wilderness, and you're going to have to go and remove every man-made thing. I mean, those roads have been there established long enough. It's not going to happen. If we tomorrow said, we'll take Title V, that would have negated the whole grant of wilderness. I mean, there's still some sections here and there around Deer Springs and in Kane County that they're going to push for wilderness, but not places that have an established road to the magnitude of the Skudenpaw Road.
Well, here's the issue, and I totally agree with you, Ben. Everyone in this room, pretty much, either married or been married. If you didn't learn compromise while you were married, then you weren't married very long. I mean, bottom line, we know that. Anybody knows that. It can't be all one way or all the other. I'm not very successful in marriage, but I'm successful enough to know that you have to compromise. I think that it's a reasonable compromise to accept the Title V myself, personally. I know that Commissioner Habeshaw doesn't agree with that. I know that the attorney has said to them it weakens their case. I happen to, just by a fluke, I happen to know Mike Lee, the attorney. You don't want to know what I think of Mike Lee, okay? It's just a complete, utter fluke that I do know the man. He is the typical attorney joke, okay? He's brilliant. He's smart. But he is the reason that when they talk about carp and bottom dweller attorneys, you know, he's one of the reasons there are attorney jokes, okay? I'm saying that we need to learn to compromise. Now, if I want to go out and do the right thing, okay, I want to go, yeah, I want to contact Dick Durbin and tell him. And trust me, I'm really good. I go in and I research the zip code so I know what zip code I need to write to them with, because you can't write to them unless you're writing from their district or whatever. So I go in, get the zip code, and then I write to them, you know, and I usually start it out with, you ignorant, you know. But my point is this. We need to learn to compromise. Part of our thing is, if we want to successfully get this thing done and right and completed, then we need to convince, I think personally, we need to convince our commission to compromise. That's when I mentioned in here about accepting the Buddhist principle of letting go your ego. Part of this thing is ego driven. Commissioner Habeshaw is not, he sees this as a land rights issue for local people. You know what? When you're in the military, they tell you what to do. And you know why you don't punch a sergeant? You might be tougher than he is, but the reason you don't punch a sergeant is the punch they can throw back is far harder than the punch you can throw. And that's exactly what's happening to us right now. The punch the federal government can throw at Kane County, at us, at Deer Springs, is far harder than what we can throw back at them. So if we say, look, we're going to accept this, I say accept this, and we compromise a little bit, meaning everybody in Kane County compromises a little bit, maybe we can get this. We're not going to get it all. And if you've looked at Kane County's transportation plan, and it's on, you can get it online. If you look at Kane County Transportation Plan, you know what one of their RS-2477 claims are? The Under the Rim Hiking Trail and Bryce Canyon National Park. Do you think in a million years we're ever going to get the Under the Rim Hiking Trail as an RS-2477 road? I can guarantee you that ain't going to happen. I don't care.
Those are already gone.
My point is they're using an all-or-nothing approach.
Okay.
And they need to compromise, and we need to compromise. I think that, from my perspective as a Deer Springs resident, and it can be totally in opposition to yours, Shauna, I respect your right to have your own opinion. My opinion is that if we want to resolve this issue, we resolve it through compromise. We don't resolve it through standing down there, standing at the end of the Student Paw Road with our rifles and our barricades, And challenging the federal government every time they or anybody who comes across that road. We challenge it through compromise and say, okay, what do we have to do? You know, how do I get this? How do I get you to accept this? Now, I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to get this other than compromise, or like Ben says, we're going to be in court for the next 30 years.
And I agree with you, but it's not really going to happen that way because things are coming down so fast and so hard. But if we compromise has been the problem that we have done forever. Christianity says compromise. We're trying to be the peacemakers. We turn the other cheek. That's why the country's in the situation we're in right now, is because these people come and they slap us and they say, we don't want this, and we're not going to stand up, and we're not going to say the pledge, and we're not going to say, we're not going to pray, and we're going to, anyway, so we say, okay, we back off. So the half comes, all right, I'll meet you halfway. Pretty soon, they're three quarters over, and we only have this much. Now we're to the point that says, stop, we've had enough of this. Now we're going to stand up, and you back off. But if you never stand up, then you're the one that's run over. See, we have already compromised, half and half the baby till there's none left. And that's what's wrong with the United States.
But on these issues, Shauna, as far as roads and the National Monument, show me one inch that we've compromised since 1994 when these started. We have now spent millions of dollars.
I'll show you a whole book that I spent hours and weeks and months and years, and that's that monument plan. We worked on those and tried to fight through them, and we compromised, and this is where we're at. I was in those meetings, Ben. I was there from the day one, okay?
Well, here's my question. And Shauna, again, I have a ton of respect for Shauna, the amount of time and effort she's putting in this, but there's the what I would term the diehard citizens that will go out and protest at the Prio River. I totally respect them. I agree with them. They have a very solid, valid concern. However, I think that people are getting tired enough. They're falling into the minority. The other far majority, the tens of thousands of taxpayers and citizens in King County that aren't willing to go out every weekend to do that, that aren't willing to sit through these meetings, are getting tired of getting nowhere after 15 years. And pretty soon, and I think you'll see a change to the next county commission election, loud and clear, the people that are there now, Ray Spencer resigned, went in based on this whole battle. They went in holding the flag. I will go fight the federal government to the nth degree. I will not give an inch. We are going to save these roads. And my opinion is, and I may be wrong, the county citizens are going to say, we want somebody who can get in there and fix the damn problem. We don't care if we're right. We don't care if we're wrong. We want to be able to function. Like you said, RS-2477 does not exist east of the Mississippi. There's a lot of counties west of the Mississippi. And who's fighting this battle?
Kane County.
Kane County. You can't. I've been on roads all through every state, four states around us. And 90% of the ranchers and the citizens and the recreation aren't dealing with this headache. Kane County is leading the charge.
Nevada has lost all of the ranchers. You got one rancher, and I had him there last week. Had you been there? We have one rancher out of Nevada that has saved his roads and his ranch. They have closed down their roads. I've been through this, Ben, for years. I'm telling you, they're taking out the roads. And that's what's going to happen. And we live in Kanab where it's a bubble, and we think it's not going to happen, but the temple will come to the ground.
No,
and I'm telling you, it goes, because they got a lot more power than we have.
I think that until the problem is big enough, loud enough, that the entire western United States is willing to fight it, not just Kane County. The others are finding a way to function in life happily and get up and go work hard and enjoy some weekends with their kids and not be in turmoil and litigation and knots in their stomach 24/7 like Kane County citizens have. I mean, Garfield County's down a little bit, and San Juan County. Outside of those three, everybody else is standing back saying, you know, it's the same. I mean, we won the Revolutionary War because the colonies were ticked off enough that they unified together. It wasn't, if it would have been two counties saying, we're going to go fight the British, and everybody said, good, go on, and we hope you win, we wouldn't have won. Until we slow down a little bit and let the other people catch up and fight this as a whole, we're going to still take the brunt of it. And I don't think it's worth it.
I did a Google search, and I looked for organizations like ours. I found one that mirrors us almost exactly in Oregon. They had a very similar fight going on, but their county was not willing to go in and fight the feds. So this organization, this homeowners association, they probably have a whole lot more money than we have, but this homeowners association, they took Title V on their road that goes through BLM land into this very similar organization and beyond in the national forest, just like we are. They took on this Title V. They negotiated the best arrangement they possibly could with the BLM for it, and they have the similar thing. They have a Title V in perpetuity that they maintain the road at very low cost for them to pay, you know,
we're giving you the right to maintain this, but it's going to cost you this much money. And they have heavy equipment in, they have a dirt road, a gravel road, but they have graders and rollers and dozers and all this other stuff where they maintain the road. Other people have solved this problem, in one way or another. And what I'm saying is that if we can't solve this thing through compromise, then we're just going to, we'll be talking about this a year from now. We'll be talking about it 2 years from now. We'll be talking about it 5 years from now.
But I don't think, Sean, I agree with you that we can't negotiate to the middle. But I am completely convinced we would not even be talking about this today if our elected officials not had cut it in 50%, had gone 98%. This would have been solved 7 years ago. I think that we could have given up 2% of some disagreement and gray area and solved the battle for the main areas.
So what's the solution, in your opinion? What would you go forth and do?
Well, if you agree with me...
Well, what would you do if you've got everybody's agreement?
If I had everybody's agreement, we've got to get our elected officials to back off of the it's my way and 100% or no way.
Well, I guess how do you go about doing that?
I don't know that the elected officials there will change until we get a turnover. I would hope that we would win one. I really thought... Commissioner Havishaw had me convinced. I came back to the board and reported there's a good chance. He feels 99% or 90% sure that we'll win the 10th District Court. And based on what had happened before, it was worth it. But I had just said at that time, but if this doesn't work, if the 10th District Court upholds the women judges' ruling, we need to go a different direction. We're not going to solve this problem with the same mentality that created it.
I understood from Mark correctly, that should be done by August before...
Well, he's going to write up his... I think the decision's already made. He's going to write it up so we can read it and stuff. From what I understand, they already met, and the 10th District Court already said, we're not going to overturn her.
What happened with... No, they didn't. She got chewed out. But here's what happened, is we drew her a second time. That's where it hurt us, because there's three federal judges, and the federal judge is on a drawing system. And so you're kind of at their mercy. Yeah, you're kind of at their mercy. So they pull a name out of a hat, and this is who you get.
So
we drew her two times.
And she definitely is biased.
And she's been screamed and yelled. And so for us, so we have to go to Supreme Court.
Well, okay. There's also a quiet title process going on, right?
Right, and that's going on too.
Some clarification as to how long that process takes. That's what bothers me, is there's a lot of talking, but there's no...
We need some more squawking.
As far as the timeline is concerned, if you don't have a timeline when these things be resolved, it could take 5, 10, 50 years. And it sounds like federal government is stonewalling the things.
And maybe I'm totally wrong, guys. I'm not saying that I'm right, but at the same time, if I hear the word attorney about one more time, I'm going to punch somebody. Look, if you're a county commissioner and you don't have enough commitment, and I don't say this to Commissioner Havishaw, because I think the guy has spent more time reading more time. This guy is very analytical. He is very thorough.
Mm-hmm.
Going through that. But the same, if every time I went to my congressman, he said, well, the attorneys won't let us. Look, Congress tells the attorneys what to do, okay? Our elected officials have got to be able to go in there and make the case and make some that's not still waiting on, well, we're going to wait on an attorney to work on something because we got to pay them more money to take more time. That's where it just frustratingly, I'm convinced you can't win in that arena. It just takes...
I agree with that, Ben. Absolutely agree with that. Except for you have to understand the road that they've already been down, and he's not just hiding behind that. There was a lot of things done, just like he said. They went out, and he and the sheriff went out and removed all the signs off the roads. Okay, they did that. I mean, they took down all the BLM signs. I mean, the Grand Staircase Escalante monument signs. They took them down. They were threatened with lawsuit. That's why our roads are open right now. That's why we've ridden on them for the last 15 years. Until this judge came out and made that final ruling in a federal court, he is stymied. You aren't going to go to court, and that judge is going to tell you that you step foot out of your go close to your wife when you're in a lawsuit. What's going to happen to you? You're going to jail right now, okay? it's already got to that point for him. But we have to fight and keep pushing behind him to help him, because one person can't do it. That's what I'm saying. That's what happened to Jessup. He tried to do that too. I would be happy to go out with you. If you want to take your grader, I'll go out there and help you push the road down that canyon and get arrested. I'm happy for a vacation. Right. I don't care. I will go down the road and do that. But how much money have you got to fight the battle?
Yeah, I don't think.
And how much money
I don't think
is
that individuals can't fight the battle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm saying we have this group here. It's not the only group. We're tied in with the St. George group, the Fillmore group. We're working in all these groups to unite as people to stop this kind of stuff happening. We have to start in our own state. We start in a county. We start in our state. We go there and we say, and we've got people that are fighting for us here in this county. We need to get behind them. We need to go to the state and say, look, this is what happens, okay? There are a lot of attorneys that are even in this fight with us. There's a lot of people that have come out of California. They're everywhere. They're all over the place that are getting on this bandwagon. We have to become
And I agree.
Stopped.
I mean, I don't want anybody, my speaking some disagreement with Commissioner Havishaw, what the commission done. I don't want that to be taken that I think you and I as citizens have failed to some degree, that some of the diehards, and Sean is a diehard, and the commission that have put endless hours in, they go and try to get to the state, and there's three of them standing there, and they feel naked, and there's no mob behind them saying, yeah, us too. The petition helps, but personal people showing up, at least the legal route, we've got to do more of that. But
when we did the rally, I'm going to tell you, I figured if I pushed as hard as I could get 300 people there, okay? Jeep's Club, four-wheel drive. I'm telling you that by Monday morning, and I started it Saturday morning, by Monday morning, I had commitment of 1,000 people. And that's when the Salt Lake Tribune calls me. Now, you will not know how many people were actually heard about this. Because I was on radio, talk radio shows. I was on Tribune, the Deseret News. I mean, I didn't go to the Spectrum because I don't. The last time they really turned it around on us, but really, we've been heard big time, and they're like on the edge, waiting for things to happen. The media is really big, whether it's bad or good. We got attention, and that's what we have to have. We have to have attention. That brings people together. So what side of the fence do you stand on? If we get the attention, then we get the power, and that's where we're moving. We're moving forward, but we have to keep that moving. And if we don't keep the moving, then we're going to lose. We can't let them just walk over.
End of 1,000 people?
To ride the Prius.
To show up at the Prius.
To show up at the Prius,
protest.
To ride that, yes.
Did that occur?
Yeah,
yes, we did that
3 weeks ago, mm-hmm. a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
That were the photographs you showed you, the armed law enforcement showed up out there.
And our sheriff should have arrested those federal people.
Well, I understand. I understand that the sheriff was asking.
Well, no, he was there. There was people representing there, but they didn't do anything. They didn't stop him. They were standing there by them.
What did the federal agents do for the riders?
What's that?
They took pictures of our license plates down front, in the back. They went and they were...
In fact, I mean, interestingly enough...
Absolutely.
He's got federal aspirations.
What's that? No, he's there. And I think that some of it, he needs to be a little more... I mean, that's where, not only roads, but anything. That's one thing I feel strongly...
Well, it sounds like you've got four elected officials that are not very forceful.
Well, and there's three or four at the state level. That's at the county level. I mean, we should. I'm going to go personally again, part because I want to ask. It's been over a year since I've talked to Representative Mike Noel and some of those on the state level.
We have a meeting tomorrow.
To say, what's our again? Let's. I'm very stupid, so I'm not going to fix this problem. I'm looking for somebody smarter than me that is more committed than I am that says I can fix this, and I'm going to vote for him. But when you're the elected official saying, I've been trying for years, and I'm getting nowhere, and I'm spending more money, and I'm getting nowhere, then it's time for you to step aside and let a fresh mind take a fresh approach. Because us doing the same old thing isn't getting us anywhere.
Well, then you have to groom or have someone in mind that will take that position and be proactive. So before you vote somebody out, you better have somebody good to vote in.
Right.
Could be somebody less effective.
Amen. Well, that's knowledgeable.
I mean, this gentleman, Mark, is able to, you know, I went through pretty carefully all those pieces of information. He was quite accurate on most of the things
right.
that he was saying.
My only criticism, like I said, he is completely thorough. I think some of it, we still start losing the forest for the trees. If I have three kids on the playground beating each other up, and I go talk to him and say, look, this isn't acceptable. Well, he hit me first, and then he threw a rock. Guys, I don't care about all that. I don't care about it. All of you better straighten up, or you can get your butt kicked. That's what a citizen says. Commissioner, don't tell me that 25... Fix the problem. And half the time when you go into the BLM and say, look, we got a problem. How do we fix it? Go to the local guys, and they'll tell you, this is how we fix it. We could get approval for this and this and this and this. And I'm saying, you know what?
That sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. I'd like still somebody to tell me why not.
Well, we are a special interest group that has a small problem that's part of a bigger problem that Sean is involved in. But we are the largest group of
any organization in the monument. You know,
there's landowners.
Yeah, there's big ones up in on Cedar Mountain stuff. But in the monument stuff, Deer Spring DSROA is the is a.
Well, okay,
our,
back up.
Our
let me tell you this.
Is safe access for ourselves and for everybody else. It seems like that should be able to push some sort of button at a higher level, and I think what we. My sense is you need to find out, and in your organization, as you were saying, there's elected officials, and then there are just doers that have to follow the orders, right? We need to find out where in the line that we need to go to contact to get something done in a positive way for
like I said, I'm not getting the feedback. Let me just ask you this. Before the submission, before Mark Abishaw, the previous county commissioners, Joe Judd,
right.
Commissioner, what's that?
I said my impression from the previous commissioners were just going to roll over and give everything they wanted.
Well, there's both sides, and the people got the pendulum swings back and forth. At that time, the citizens said, "No, you fight for our rights. Don't roll over." Now we've been fighting for our rights and got nowhere, and this pendulum's going to swing. And that's my prediction, because at that time. They had gone to the BLM. The BLM said, we understand we're not in compliance. We've got to do something, so we'll do Title V. That's why, at that time, DSROA, we went and put Title V's on the road, so we had some claim. Because it was just the old cowboy said, well, I've been down that road 100 times. You know, we got Title V. At that time, that's when they wrote up documentation. It got right down to the signing, and then the citizens yelled and screamed, don't sign that to take Title V. But it was saying, you're not giving up RS-2477, but... At the same time, you'll run a parallel path. You could have Title V. You can maintain the roads. You can use the roads. If that had been signed in, we would be driving the roads in. They would have been maintained the last year. My question, and maybe I'm completely... I haven't made a full decision, but I'm happy. If they had signed that...
They being?
The county commissioners
okay.
had taken Title V on Scudamaw Road,
right.
saying, we want it like it is. Full width, two-lane traffic, culverts. We under that Title V, we could at that time say we want the right that we could if it became a speed and enough traffic that the washboards can't be maintained, that we've got to hard surface it, chip seal or something. We want that written in right now that we do have that right. If we had done that 7-8 years ago, tell me where we would have gone wrong.
Then we have that right on RS-2477. Anytime you got money to go out there and put chip and seal on that road,
but
you
we're not.
Can go do it.
I know, but we're not.
Yeah.
But we're not. Right now, we can't even grade it.
Nope, we can't.
Okay.
But
because
he could have done that.
Because
he could have done it before, but we didn't have money to do it. We still don't have money to do it.
Because
and the government's not going to pay for us to do it on their property.
I think we're still under 2477, right? And the government's inactivity on
the issue. In reality, why does the federal government have any claim on our state at all?
Right. Yeah.
Let's go back to where it really began.
When you can't get them to move on it, like Abishaw was saying. They just will not,
And you can't say, okay, BLM, then if you're not going to let us maintain it, then you rate maintain the roads. The BLM has no interest in maintaining the roads. If those roads blew away in the dust over the next year and completely obliterated, the greenies won. That's what they won anyway.
Right.
So how are we helping ourselves by saying, okay, then we'll just let them blow away, but we're going
to
blame you.
No, we're not doing that. We want to scream and yell that they take care of them or force them in to give them the RS-2477. That's what he said. When you write the letters, just sign them over to the RS-2477s and let the county maintain them, period. That's what it is. We don't want the Title V. The Title V, I'm telling you, you research what a Title V is compared to an RS-24-7 of what you have to do and what rights you're giving up before you give it up. You better look at the RS-24-77, the rights that we were given compared to this.
But right now we have the option of having both.
No, you don't have both. That's the difference. You don't have both. You get one or you get the other. You don't have both.
Yeah, but here's the point. The one point that Ben's trying to make, and I completely see what you're saying, Ben, and that is that we accept the Title V. It doesn't take away our right to make the quiet title claim on the RS-2477. We take the Title V. We maintain the road. We jump through the hoops, okay? You know, we've got to solve the problem. You know, the Japanese have a saying. They fix the problem. They don't fix the blame. All we're doing is fixing the blame on someone else. Okay, we're blaming the Obama administration. We're blaming the Bush administration. We're blaming Dick Durbin. We're blaming Bruce Babbitt. We're blaming everybody. You know what? We're all human. We all make mistakes. We all do things that we all regret at one point in time or another, whether they regret this stuff or whether they don't regret it. Here's the thing. If we're going to be arguing this thing a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now, then and the road is just going to continue to deteriorate. I don't think, as a property owner at Deer Springs Ranch, I'm in any danger of having the federal government come in and turn my property into wilderness or take that away from me.
That's where you guys are lost. When that monument came through, you don't understand. When that monument came through, do you know where those boundaries were? Right down 89 Canab. 89 all the way to Lake Powell. That's what you don't understand, Ben.
I do understand. Shauna, don't be offensive because I do understand. I know where the boundary were.
Yeah.
I was one that wrote letters. I'm glad that we pushed it back to where it was. But at the same time,
at that point, but I'm just saying, he's saying that they can't come and take it. They can. They can come and take it. We would have lived in a monument.
The chances of them coming and taking my property.
Right. They can do that today. They can do it tomorrow. It's gone through the United States Supreme Court in the last 3 years under eminent domain. If they want your property and say, we need something here, we're going to put a federal highway, they're going to take it. So, for example, let's be honest. I mean, can we use these examples? And they're complete, in my opinion, I'm going to start calling it out. They're scare tactics. The Brown Ranch. You know what? If I own the Brown Ranch, because I have Red Creek Ranch, it's my ranch. Okay? It's in the middle. I have four sides of BLM property on all four sides of me. I do not have a county road going to my property. I do not want a county road going to my property. I'm happy to have a Title V. I work for me as individual with the federal government to cross their property. And you know what? I really don't want the county meddling. I'm getting to where I'm afraid of the county as much as I am the federal government. If I was the Browns and owned that ranch, I don't want to see it on the county roadmap. I don't need Mark Havishaw to come protect me to get to my ranch. I'm happy to have a Title V from the paved road to my ranch because it's a dead-end, exclusive place for me and my family. And when I sell it, I have legal access to it. The problem is, right now, we're the one that are cut off. We have no access. And for those that are going to live out there for a million years and only use it, fine. There's people at Deer Springs who say, the less traffic, the worse the road gets, the better. You know what? I deal every day. I've got a Deer Springs unit in contract right now that should close the end of the week. The people that are selling that need to sell it. Not 10 years from now, but today. And you know what? If this road was fixed, that's become an issue, they would have gotten substantial. Right now, the value of the properties are going down because those people that finally move on, get old enough, have someone die in the family, and need to sell it, they can't sell it because they have no legal access to their property. When the buyer drives out there looking at it, they say, oh, I thought you said this was kind of a neat ranch. We got this. I can't even get to the place. This is ridiculous. You know, that's what is going to happen. That's the real cost that instead of getting on with solving the problem, we can argue the principle of it for eternity. In the meantime, what we were fighting for, we lost.
It comes down to money, Ben.
If we take Title V, can the road fund that Mike Noel is working on, do those funds then apply through the county?
Absolutely. Right now, they've still been maintaining Johnson Canyon Road. I mean, if it needed, they have, but again, Commissioner said today, this first I told him that I heard that from, now they're going to take that Title V, which we accepted before his, you know, tenure, and now we're going to go and throw it back in the BLM's face and reject it?
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. You know, and again, this issue is going to come to head in the next year, but I think that's ridiculous. I think that, you know, a road that, the one of the roads that we do have legal and access and we can drive, we're going to go and throw it back at the BLM also.
That would be just like Deer Springs Ranch going out and saying, we're going to throw these Title V back in your face. You know, and we're going to, you know, I mean, and that's how stupid it would be, because we'd lose access over Broad Hollow, we'd lose access on Middle Canyon Road, we'd lose access on, through the forest.
That's where I say DSROA, and as a board, if this doesn't, and I told Habashaw this before, he talked about Brent Robinson getting Title V over what he calls the RS-247. I've dealt other places where a private property owner has gone to the BLM, said, I need access, I'm starting to get nervous, I've got this road of it, I want to see a written document, gives me, and they say, okay, we'll give you a Title V, and as soon as the BLM signed over Title V to that rancher, the county commission has come and threatened them and come unglued. And that's the county commissioner, if you give us a road to our ranch, great. If not, I say DSROA spends the money and goes to the BLM, just like we did on the interior roads, and get one from the airstrip all the way to Highway 89 as a Title V to DSROA, so we have legal access. So that if there is a washout legally, okay, commission, you won't maintain the road, at least we can. We don't have the money, but at least we'd have the right, we could do what, you know, what we can.
Well, what I thought you implied happens. If we have Title V, then isn't the county obligated financially to take care of that road?
If we had Title V or the county had Title V?
Well, how can we possibly have Title V?
DSROA can go get Title V.
Yeah, we can go get Title V.
The federal government would grant a Title V access 50 feet wide from Highway 89 to the airstrip to Deer Springs Ranch Owner Association.
Okay.
And if there's 20 ranchers between there that gets Title V too, good. There's our Title V on top of their Title V on top of the county's supposed RS-2477.
Okay, so that would give the DSROA the right to, at their own expense,
right,
to maintain.
Right.
Correct.
It's a private easement.
Whatever, from Highway 89.
Right.
So that was on Johnson Canyon Drive and any portion of Spoon Rock.
Yep. You would be. You would have. Portion. You would be
okay.
Literal.
So that Title
financially
five
obligated
is. But we don't have anywhere near that kind of money to maintain that road.
Right. No. But.
So then, what good would that be doing us to do that? If we got a Title V.
None.
Well, ultimately, we want the county to do it
because they. Well, no, I understand that. I thought in that case, if we had the Title V, the county would be obligated to invest money to do that. But it sounds to me like if we had the Title V, they wouldn't be. So we wouldn't
the Title V does this, okay? The Title V says we recognize that these are federal roads. These are your roads. And we're going to take this Title V, which is a permit to
mm-hmm.
cross your road.
Right.
And if anything happens to the road, this is what we will do to maintain it. So, and I've been over this with people back.
What they will do to maintain it, being the federal government?
No. What King
the
County would
have to do.
The federal
government is telling the county
right.
what they will do.
They have
to
tell them exactly how to fix it. You can only do such and such a thing. That's
okay.
like on the D roads
right.
or whatever.
So, yeah.
Okay. You have to do it exactly like this. This is what has to happen.
Okay.
But that way, but there is no RS-2477 when they do that because you gave up your right as a right-of-way and gave it to the federal
right,
government.
I understand that.
And
but
so,
since they're not recognizing the 2477.
Well, that's the, right. That's the pressure. They haven't really done either one. If you go back and look at this stuff that he mailed out, I think Linda sent it to you.
Yeah,
you guys probably haven't seen it yet.
Carefully.
Well, I mean, today. This just came out today.
No.
So go back and look at these ones that came out today and see what was said in deposition. Okay, there were some depositions that were taken from the BLM, and that's why you need to take a look and see what they said.
We won't be able to do that unless we have a hard copy because our computer is 800 miles away.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Can you go on to the library?
Okay.
That I'm supposed to be.
We did.
Me
I
too.
I just wanted to tell you, I called the clinic twice today.
Okay.
They told me, leave him at home in bed, give him clear liquid. Don't worry about him. There's nothing anybody can do for him. They didn't say he has, they didn't think that he needed to be tested or anything. And I called twice because his fever went up a little bit. And...
can we make sure
making
plates on his tools or something?
I agree. I agree in his case not to expose him or anybody else, but again, that's
he's in bed. He's not
right.
Gloves and a white mask.
He
could do whatever he wants.
He doesn't even
want
to come downstairs. I suppose if he comes downstairs, it's because he has to use the bathroom.
Do you have a home teacher yet?
Do we have a home teacher? No. Well, I
yeah,
call
you
your
can.
Bishop
I do.
And tell him to get out.
They have a home teacher. No, I get this morning. This morning I had John Reese and Brother Jensen come in.
Good, fine. Okay.
And he felt better. Like
anything else that we need to help you
everything
with?
Everything is good up there.
Good.
I just talked. Linda said maybe I should come over here.
Yeah, no, and she kind of said that you probably weren't, and definitely Paul wasn't, so.
Probably weren't what?
Going to make it in. You know,
oh,
to
no,
make
I,
a report.
I came in because I have stuff that I had to
get
that Paul was
going to
get
for
me
with him.
Because I have a
barbecue. In a few minutes. You better run. There's going to be hungry people.
And I make a motion when we adjourn because we have another
meeting. Well, I have two issues.
Yeah.
No, no issues.
Okay.
I went ahead and got a bid to have our road graded from the branch out to the end of the Johnson Canyon. And it cost us about $1,000.
Okay. Just to run it.
Every time we have done.
Okay.
I know we don't have the money. I just went ahead and did it. Took it on my own self, then that's what would cost us to have the road graded.
Our section of Scudamont, it goes through the DSROA.
Ours from Deer Springs Ranch, from the other side of Deer Springs Ranch, all the way to the end of Johnson Canyon.
To the oil.
Would cost us about $1,000.
So if every member put in $10, you could have it done three times.
Well, I'm just, all I'm saying
right.
is that's what that's the bid I got. And
right.
So, just so you know. And anyway,
excuse me.
Then
in total mileage, is that about 13 miles?
Well, by the time they go one direction and the other, it's about 30 miles per radius.
15 miles of road, again, going both ways, going and coming.
Well, that's a heck of a document.
I went ahead and got the bid. The other question we have is that Larry Murphy and I would like to widen Broad Hollow. Right at the narrow spot where the sandstone shelf is. Alan Steed said he can come in he was going to bring his big backhoe in. He says he looked at it real carefully. He says he could probably bring his backhoe in with a hydraulic hammer on it, chip it apart, widen it. We'd like to widen the road about 4 or 5 feet. It's completely personal. We need a place to put the snow in the winter. That section right there, we have nowhere to go with the snow. It builds up, and you end up with an ATV track. That's all you have through there. You can't get a truck through it. So we need another 4 or 5 feet to break that apart. We will fund this improvement. It's not a ranch project. It's our project. The property does go through one of the private property owners. It's not association ground. It's Lee Gap Myers property. So I was going to contact them to see if that was okay. But what I need to get from you guys is an okay for us to go ahead and do that, or if you want to think about it, there's no hurry. I just want to get it done by winter.
Right. No, I think just so you have time to do that, and I know which section you're talking about. It's got to be widened so that it can facilitate a reasonable thing, but I think it is a good idea to make sure that the present, you know, the lot owner knows. Because even though I've got ranch roads that come through mine, and I'm tired every time I go up and another two trees 20, 30 feet off the road now has been cut, and somebody says, well, it's a ranch road. It's still my property. You have an easement, but we should, just as a courtesy, always notify them. So
not notified, but I make a motion that we allow Brent to do that, to check with that property owner if that's okay. I mean, that's not holding us up any.
Right.
If you yeah.
No, but she's saying a motion to that the board authorizes him to do the road as long as the lot owner is
right. If
and doesn't have a problem.
And that's, so it takes it off of our responsibility. We're okay with
do you have
widening the road.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I think that short section, if you guys, we need to do
thank
that.
You. And that's all,
double
that's
check
all we're them. You know the area
yep.
I'm talking
yep.
about. Everybody's familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I have another question about that $1,000 bid to grade the road. If Mr. Steed were to do that, would he be in violation of
the license? You better document an emergency.
Could we get a one-time Title V?
We need to talk back. Now that we're not getting where we thought this would have been solved by now. Now that we're not, we'll start asking around because I'd like to know from the BLM. Because the BLM has offered to the county, we'll give you a maintenance agreement or whatever you need to go and at least temporarily maintain the road. The county, I understand why, but they're saying, no,
right.
We're going to follow this, fix it. But I think that the BLM may give a temporary maintenance agreement to some private parties
right.
to start maintaining
right.
roads.
That's
at their own expense, they will. But
right.
as long as, but see, the jurisdiction or the liability falls on the federal government as long as it doesn't fall on Deer Springs Ranch.
Right.
So it has to be a private person that says that they're going to do that for hire, knowing that they're bonded or insured if something happened. That's our only problem because we don't want to be taking that on as
right.
a ranch.
Well, the other thing Alan wants to do on that, and he kind of included everything together, was that he also wants to take a couple of loads in on those blowouts, a couple of loads of fill, and fill those out and grade them in and we'll roll them into a really good and fix it up. He has a vested interest in it because he's working out there all the time,
sure.
and he's driving his big rig out there all the time. And so,
but you won't be able to do that.
Where are those loads going right now, Brent?
What's that?
Where are the rocks going now? They're continually running Broad Hollow with the loads of rocks.
Oh, the stuff he's going, I think he's taking it up the fill halls.
You're talking about just gravel trucks?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot. There's other operators that it's not Steve
oh,
that
yeah,
are coming
okay.
from Broad Hollow in here to Canap or Scutumpire area
yeah.
In here to Canap. I mean, that's
Is that Jeff?
Well, there's four or five. There is no. That's
can
the.
Can we end the meeting
the
and finish talking so these guys can get off the line?
Let's see. I have another question that we can do after. Okay.
Next meeting and say,
well, let's just. She's put these additional candidates for the 2010 board of directors. We need to put out in the next newsletter or something by the end of July.
How many are due? How many are up?
Two or three, four.
Three,
I don't know. My seat's up. John Southwick is up. He said.
Dustin
yeah.
and John.
I think that's
in my position.
Two.
I mean, I.
For two.
I think he was in, he was finishing up one.
Yeah, I was disappointed to finish this year.
Okay.
So it would be Southwick.
But Linda knows that. Let's authorize Linda to research it and put something out on the website or an email saying, if you're interested in running, we need to know because those ballots and stuff need to be prepared here in July, early August for the September meeting. Secondly, we're going to need to talk about it later. They're not even here. Contact for the Braytons. I think that they're doing a great job and stuff that we want to do. I don't know how to write a contract. You know, it's like the contracts we do. We want it.
Well, they have one. What we need to do is look at it, maybe revise it.
And extend it or something. I don't know what the...
Well, we need to look at it and massage it to make
okay.
it work for them, I think.
Okay, one last question on roads. Does anybody know, Brent, you've been out there,
traffic.
Any road work that's been done north of the DSR gate?
No. I just took the trip last weekend. No.
Any
on
work
the
on
side
the,
of the
no
middle?
Recent work? There's work required.
Right, there is work required. Any work on ditches up there? We've talked about trying to get ditches cleaned up. Talking to the forest, I got permission 10 years ago from Carl Gillette from the forest, and we hired a contractor to go up there and clean some of the ditches. I just got through the grapevine here in the last week that something's been done, and they're blaming us, and now they're talking between the BLM and the forest of trespassing. And I've been in that. We've been sued before, and I had to go clean up the mess.
I know exactly what they're talking about.
Okay.
Somebody has taken, 3 years ago, excuse me, I backpacked the Under the Rim Trail, or
mm-hmm.
well, not Under the Rim, but what's called Grandview Trail.
Right.
From Crawford Pass over to Rig Springs. Camped over at Rig Springs. Came back. It was a single track. Somebody has gone in and widened the Grandview Trail with a machine. Wide enough to accommodate ATVs, which have been going from the lower Podunk Creek trailhead
over to the Crawford Pass, just above your place,
right,
and coming out there. The Forest Service had just gone through an issue where they closed, and the BLM had closed Sheep Creek. Somebody's done the same thing from Sheep Creek over to Lower Podunk Creek, and now somebody's done it from there. Anyway, I talked to a Forest Service representative, and they immediately wanted to blame Deer Springs Ranch for this. I said, nobody, as far as I know, and I got my ear to the ground pretty close on all the stuff that goes on out there. I says, I hike that trail all the time. I haven't been on it for 2 years, but when I go up there and I find it, I says, I didn't know anything about it. Okay, but somebody had pushed a complete ATV trail from Lower Podunk Creek over in to the Crawford Canyon trailhead, which has only one access. That's through Deer Springs Ranch up there. And I think they immediately wanted to blame us. I think that's what they're referring to.
It may be. And just for history, the same thing repeat. If you go up into Podunk, we go across, we leave the county road, what we used to call the county road, now it's a federal road, up through Brinkerhoff's property, and you cross a cattle guard. And then you go across a section of BLM over into the private ground of Deer Springs, and one particular lot owner was trying to get some mobile homes in there, and so he cut the fence, and he drove and kind of built a road, and he made 10 or 15 trips. And by the time that was done, the BLM blamed DSROA. I was the president at the time. I had to spend association funds. I went up there with a grader. We scarified it. I went and bought native grass seeds and reclaimed it, tried to get us out of hot water. I'm just saying, I ain't going to do that again. Just so that we know, and as a board, if there's something, we're going to do it legal and go and get the proper permission. If somebody outside of Deer Springs or a Deer Springs member goes and does one of these things, I'm happy for them to hang. I'm going to tell the BLM, hey, just because they're a member at Deer Springs doesn't bind the association. We're not going to spend our funds. We're not going to defend ourselves. We're going to point fingers and say, yeah, that guy over on lot whichever, he did it something crazy. Because we can't control 300 people, and that's where I'm tired. So maybe that is it. I just heard through the grapevine that they're talking that there's been some, they were talking ditches and stuff, and we've talked about that.
What's it look like this was done with, Brent?
It looks to me like it was either done with a really small.
How about a four wheeler blade?
Oh no! They couldn't have done it that way. The two things that went on out there that are really evident are quite a bit of chainsaw work, removing. If you think you're aggravated when somebody cuts your own tree, you cut a tree on federal land and you're in big trouble. Somebody went through there and they cut all these branches out. I've got lots of experience with an ATV blade. An ATV blade wouldn't have done this. I'm saying it was either done with one of those little, I don't know if you've ever seen them. The Forest Service has these little trail dozers that they make trails with.
I've seen it, and I thought that the Forest Service had they had a little trail dozer when they built that trail, and I figured after 5 years they'd come and run that section of it again. If that's what they're talking about, they can't blame us as the association.
But somebody has come through there. The last time I was on it, before this, a couple weeks ago, it was a single track. It was overgrown. It was a defined trail. You could hike it. You could bike it. But now it's a serious two-track. And in some places, they've used the machine to cut back the edges. They've had to have used the machine.
Well, just so that I just want, so that if you hear of anything, then we know there is some issues on the forest, we need to go and fix flooding down through Meadow Canyon, but we need to go through the proper channel. I don't want somebody jumping the gun and saying, hey, well, you got a piece of equipment, let's go and do it. And if they do, don't tell me about it. I don't want the association getting messed up, because we're trying to fight these battles on roads and stuff. The last thing we need to get is a black eye over it.
Maybe the association needs to send a letter out to all the homeowners saying, don't do anything.
Yeah.
We aren't behind you.
Yeah. Well, if anybody,
everybody knows, because there's not.
I really believe everybody already knows that. Whoever did this did it clandestinely. I mean, it was not done. I talked to Evan Beauchel. You know Evan?
No.
He's one of the Forest Service bigwigs, from Panguitch. And he asked me specifically, and I said, look, I have no idea. I said, I don't know who would have the vested interest in doing it. I was going to jokingly blame Mark Havishaw for having a place to extend the Great Western Trail to, but I didn't. But I do know that they have caused some serious erosion problems on the Crawford Canyon side because the trail went through a really bare area, and now it's really bad.
Well, again, that trail is supposed to be non-motorized.
Right.
I personally disagree with that because I don't think anybody else is enjoying it. But you go to the head of Crawford, and when it goes east, it's a beaten ATV trail. You can see when I was up there last, there had been pickups and trailers that unload ATVs and head that way. But from there, from Crawford back over to Meadow Canyon, it's a horse track. You can barely get a horse through there, And so people are somebody's found it, and whether it's
let's go, okay, because I really have to speak to him.
Ben, that's the only thing I know.
Okay. All right. Any other things? If not, I make a motion we adjourn the meeting.
I did that second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're officially adjourned. Any other business?
Okay, 2,000-year leap, if anybody knows what that is. We're going to sign it for people that want to learn about the Constitution at the Tea Party.
Right.
And the man who co-authored that is going to teach the class.